I'd like to read a very well-known passage of Scripture in the book of Corinthians. Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll start at verse 1, but it's the end of verse 3 and 4 that I want to concentrate on. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. But I make known to you, brethren, the glad tidings which I announced to you, which also ye received, in which also ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye hold fast the word which I announced to you as the glad tidings, unless indeed ye have believed in vain. For I delivered to you in the first place what also I had received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised the third day according to the Scriptures. Throughout the Bible, you get passages like this that are very understated, if you like, because in this last couple of verses here, you get the whole scope of the story of the gospel, that Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, he was buried, and he was raised the third day. The key points, if you like, of the great mission that the Lord Jesus Christ came down here to fulfill in accordance with his God and Father's will are captured in these verses here. He died, he was buried, and he was raised the third day. Jesus is the absolute centerpiece of the gospel. In this verse here, it's Christ died according to the Scriptures, he was buried, and he was raised the third day. He's the absolute theme of the gospel. Romans talks about this is God's glad tidings concerning his son. And glad tidings is perhaps an old-fashioned expression, but it means good news. And the gospel message is all about good news. Good news for humanity. Good news for you sitting here in this room tonight, dear friend, because you can come to know a Savior God, because God has provided in the giving of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has provided a way whereby you can have forgiveness of sins. You can have peace in your heart. You can have a hope that goes beyond this world. You can have joy. And you can have perhaps the greatest gift that God has given to us, the gift of the Holy Spirit, to dwell inside of you down here. Dear friend, the gospel message goes out so that you tonight can come into blessing. And God is standing tonight with arms outstretched to bless. The message has gone out from this desk for many, many, many years. It's the same principle, the same basic message that's gone out week by week by week. And God in his grace again has allowed you in this room tonight to listen to his great message of salvation. And tonight, dear friend, you have an opportunity to come to know him as, to come to know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, and come to know God as a Savior God. And even greater than that, God wants to bring you in to the very center, if you like, of his presence, and you can call him Father. There's so much, dear friend, on offer in the gospel tonight, and it's all about this one man called Jesus Christ. He's the centerpiece of the gospel, the centerpiece of the message of salvation. And tonight, dear friend, God would want to open your eyes so that you can see the need that you have for a Savior. And see that he has provided in the giving of his Son an answer to your sin problem. There's nobody else, dear friend. There's nobody else that is qualified, who is able and willing to be an all-sufficient sin saviour, except for the person that God has set forward in the glad tidings, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's him that we speak about here. He died for our sins. And dear friend, I wonder tonight whether you can include yourself in this verse. Did he die, dear friend, for your sins? Do you know him as a personal saviour? Or is he somebody that you have just heard about week by week and you know a lot about? But I wonder, dear friend, whether you really know him. Because that's the key thing. We can know a lot about a lot of things academically. We can know a lot of facts and perhaps even quote Bible verses. But the key point of the gospel message is whether you know the Lord Jesus Christ personally as your personal Savior. You know, I love that verse when the Lord appeared to the 12 disciples and Thomas was there. And he said, "My Lord and my God." You know, there's a personal element there. And dear friend, tonight, I wonder whether you can call him your Savior. Whether you can say, "He is my Savior. He is my Lord. He is my God." Because it's a personal matter, dear friend. It's a personal thing. And you tonight have the opportunity to come to know him as your personal Savior. And so, as I said, God would be desiring that your eyes would be open tonight to see your need. We were reading not too long back in John chapter 9 of the man that was blind from birth. And he came into contact with the Lord Jesus. And the Pharisees asked him, "How, you being blind, how do you see?" And the simple answer was that he came into contact. He says, "I met a man called Jesus." And dear friend, tonight there are many people in this room that have met a man called Jesus. There are many people in this room that you will be able to talk to that can say that they have been washed by the precious blood, that they know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. But I wonder, dear friend, do you? I wonder, dear friend, do you? Have you met this man called Jesus? The reason, dear friends, that you have to come to know him is because he will change your life. He will absolutely change your life. There are many people that came into contact with the Lord. Some of them wanted to question him. Some of them wanted to trick him and test him. But when anybody came to him in genuine faith, he never turned them away and they were never the same again. Whether it was In the Gospels, it's often physical healing, isn't it? But tonight, dear friend, God is offering in the great message of salvation healing for you, healing from the great curse of sin that we all find ourselves under. God is able to open your eyes. God is able to cure you, if you like, of that terrible disease that we all find ourselves under. And you can come into the most wonderful blessing because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. It says Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And you know that great, as I said, nobody came to the Lord and in genuine faith and was turned away. You have that wonderful cry, don't you? That "Come unto me, all ye who weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And dear friend, tonight I wonder if you are burdened by your sin. I wonder, dear friend, tonight whether your sin is weighing you down. It should do, dear friend, because God takes sin very seriously. And you should take your sin very seriously as well. The message of the world, unfortunately, is to be rather glib about the whole idea of sin. And to be very quick to brush things under the carpet. But God has a very serious and a very solemn viewpoint about sin and sins. And it says here, it's so serious, in fact, that Christ died for our sins. It involved, in order for God to be able to come out in blessing towards you tonight, it involved a sacrifice having to be made. And that sacrifice was his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll come on to that in a little bit. But I want you to understand tonight, dear friend, as you sit here in this room, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are in a very perilous and a very dangerous position tonight. There is no doubt about it, dear friend, that all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is no question whether you take what God has said in his word as truth, which we all should. God's word speaks to the human heart as it has done throughout all of time. But dear friend, you can look in your own life as well and know that these things are true, that you are a sinner. And that God is a holy and a righteous God. And that you have fallen far, infinitely, far short of the standard that God has set out. The perfect standard that can be seen alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have fallen infinitely short. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You think back over your life, think back over the week, think back over the day that you've had today, and the things that you've said, and the things that you've done, and the things that you've thought. All these things, dear friend, they add up, and one day we will have to answer for every single one of the things that we have done wrong. And I think, dear friend, we need to be very clear on the fact that we are answerable to a holy and a righteous God. And one day, dear friend, you will appear before God. Tonight, dear friend, you can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Saviour. Dear friend, if you walk out of this room tonight without knowing him, with rejecting the message of the gospel, as you have done week by week by week, perhaps, dear friend, if you continue to reject the gospel and you leave this scene down here as having rejected the Saviour, you will one day stand before him and he will not be a Saviour, he will be a judge. Dear friend, I think we need to make this very solemnly clear tonight that you are, if you like, at the crossroads. You are, if you like, at this great moment where you can have your next move, if you like, could have eternal consequences. Tonight, dear friend, you can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour. But if you reject him, dear friend, the consequences are solemn and they are eternal. And dear friend, tonight I think we need to make that very solemnly clear, that you have the opportunity to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, though, as your personal Saviour. So he says here that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. You know, in order for God to come out towards us in blessing, a sacrifice had to be made. It says in Hebrews that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Without a sacrifice being made, and you see it all the way through the Old Testament, in type, in shadow, in pictures, you see the great principle of sin having to be met by a sacrifice. And dear friend, when it came to the ultimate sacrifice, if you like, the final, God's final word to humanity was found in the Lord Jesus Christ, where he hung upon that cross and shed that precious blood so that, dear friend, tonight God can move out in righteousness and keeping his holiness and righteousness all intact and yet still come out to bless you, a sinner. It's a remarkable thing to think about, that single sacrifice of the Lord Jesus laid the foundation, opened the way back to God that had been shut off because of our sins and because of that great distance that had come in between us and God. You know, there's nothing else that could do for a holy and a righteous God except the blood of that precious man, the Lord Jesus. In the Old Testament, way back in Genesis, when the first sin was committed in the garden, Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And one of the first things they did was that they tried to cover themselves up with, it says, aprons of fig leaves. And they had to quickly realize that if there is to be blessing coming in, a sacrifice had to be made. But you know, we're very good at trying to cover things up ourselves. We're very good at trying to put on a good show. We're very good at trying to, if you like, sweep our sin under the carpet, to try and make little of it. When I first moved into our house that we're currently living in now, in the bathroom on the ceiling, there was a load of mould. And me, because my DIY skills are only average at best, I decided I was going to paint over the mould rather than try and get rid of it. And for a little while, it looked pretty good. The whole ceiling was gleaming white and it looked pretty good. But eventually, the mould started to seep through again. And the only way that we could get that ceiling looking in any way good would be to clean the mould completely. But you know, dear friend, we're very good, aren't we, at putting a facade up, at trying to make it seem like we've got our lives sorted. But underneath the surface, dear friend, we have a heart that is desperately wicked. The root of the problem is that inside each and every one of us, we are sinners by nature. And our hearts are desperately wicked and away from God. So no matter how much you try and clean yourself up, no matter how many new leaves you try and turn over, no matter how many New Year's resolutions you try and make, dear friend, you will not get any closer to being in favor with God by doing your own thing. The only way whereby you can come into blessing, it says in Acts, doesn't it, there is no other name given under heaven whereby ye must be saved. And it's only the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it involved his tremendous sacrifice on that cross at Calvary. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. The just for the unjust, Peter says. The price was paid on that cross. When you see the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross, and you read about it in all four of the Gospels, and you realize what a cost it was to God and to the Lord Jesus himself in order to bring you into blessing, dear friend, it should bow your hearts to think of what God has done everything in order to bring you, a sinner, into blessing. Romans says, doesn't it, while ye were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I wonder, dear friend, we read these passages, don't we? We read Romans and that verse in Romans, and we read the steps down in Philippians 2. And sometimes they become a little bit shallow because we've read them so many times. But I wonder, dear friend, tonight, whether you've really thought the great cost that was involved in God giving his only beloved son so that you can come into blessing. You who had done absolutely nothing to deserve blessing can come tonight and find in God a savior. The Bible talks about unmerited favor. And dear friend, that's what it is. You have done nothing to in any way deserve God's love. And yet God in his grace and in his mercy and in his love has designed and created a way whereby you can come into blessing. But it involved a tremendous cost on his part and on the part of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friend, all that is required of you tonight is to come in repentance and faith. That's the simplicity of the gospel, is that the gospel goes out to whosoever will, because it's very easy to understand on a very, you know, the Bible can be very complex. There's many things that we don't understand about, or I certainly don't understand about chapters of the Bible. But the gospel message is very simple if we take it simply in faith. That God loves you so much that he sent his only son. You know, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. Dear friend, tonight, God has done everything. He could do nothing more. And all that's required of you tonight now, dear friend, is for you to turn to him in repentance and faith. Realize you're a sinner in need of a savior and find that God has done everything in the giving of his beloved son. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried. It was all dealt with. The Lord said, didn't he? It is finished. And dear friend, tonight, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, the question of your sins will never be brought up again. Isn't that a wonderful thing, to have that peace and security in your heart that it doesn't depend on you and what you do? It's all dependent on him and what he's done. And when he said it is finished, it meant it was never going to be brought up again. As far as the east is from the west. That's how far God has separated our sins from us, dear friend. When we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the assurance that your sins have been completely dealt with and forgiven. And the assurance comes in the next verse, in the next part of this verse. He was buried and he was raised the third day. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross and he was buried, it seemed like a pretty hopeless situation. The disciples had all scattered. It seemed like the devil had won a great victory. There was a stone rolled across the entrance of the tomb. There was a soldier placed outside, and it seemed like all hope was lost. But then in the Bible's very understated way, he was raised the third day. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is alive. And it says in Revelation, the Lord talks about himself. He says, I, the one who became dead, but I'm alive to the ages of ages. And Paul in this chapter in Corinthians spends a lot of time going over the importance of why Jesus had to be raised from among the dead. The cross and the resurrection go hand in hand. The resurrection is the assurance, on our part at least, of knowing that the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus made on that cross was fully, eternally, completely to the satisfaction of his God and Father. And we know, because Jesus is now alive, that we can have that same assurance when we put our faith and trust in Jesus. We can know, absolutely sure, in our hearts, that our sins have been forever dealt with. Dear friend, tonight you can have that same peace. Peace is something that the world doesn't have very much of. But dear friend, you can have that peace of knowing that your burden, your sins, have been completely and entirely dealt with. Christ is risen from the dead. First fruits of those that have fallen asleep. It says in Romans, doesn't it, that he was raised by the glory of the Father. And you know, importantly there, it says that you can go on and walk in newness of life. And I think that's an important part of the gospel message, you know, that God didn't expend such great cost just so that you can go on living the same way that you always have lived. Dear friend, when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour, you have to realise that the old you is gone and finished with. God's not interested in a repair job. Everything that you were before you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ is nothing in God's eyes. It's all brand new. It's all a new start. It's newness of life. And the Lord Jesus Christ is able to bring that in, dear friends, so that your old way of thinking, your old views, your old direction, your old perspective is gone and forgotten. And there is a newness of life involved in becoming a Christian. You're given, as I said at the start, the Holy Spirit to dwell inside you so that you can live down here for God. And dear friend, it's the most marvelous thing when you become to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are bought in to, it says we're bought with a price. We're placed, if you like, in amongst the company of other Christians down here. We're given the Holy Spirit. We're given a hope that goes beyond this world. We're given peace in our heart. We're given so many blessings. And it's all because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done on that cross. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised the third day. And the rest of our time down here, once you come to know the Lord as your Saviour, is spent, or should be spent, becoming more like him. It says here, according to the scriptures. And you know, when you become a Christian, the Bible becomes very precious to you. It's God's word. Meeting together with other Christians becomes very precious. Remembering the Lord suddenly becomes a very precious thing. Your whole dynamics, if you like, change. You can read, perhaps Paul was the most obvious and most clear example of a life that was changed by coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friend, perhaps your life won't go quite from the extremes that Paul did, but the transaction that happened in Paul's heart of coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Saviour is the same change that can happen in your heart tonight as coming to know him as your personal Saviour. And you know, he was buried, he was raised the third day, and you know where he is now. He's seated at the Father's right hand. He's no longer here on the earth. He's later on in the Gospel, in Acts, at the beginning of Acts, 40 days after he was raised from among the dead, he ascends through the clouds, and he is now seated at the Father's right hand, and he's ready and willing to receive any that are coming tonight in repentance and faith. He is seated up at the Father's right hand, dear friend, and you know one day he's going to come back to claim all those that are his. That's the wonderful hope that a believer has, that goes way beyond the world down here, is that one day we will see our Saviour face to face. One day we will hear that great voice, that great shout, and we will be with him forever. And you know, further on, a little bit later down the timeline, God will see to it that the man that was rejected down here 2,000 years ago will get his proper place. And when he comes in all his glory, when he comes in the clouds with great glory, God will see to it that the man that was rejected and put on the cross is given his rightful place when he comes to reign down here as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, I said he was the great theme of the gospel. He's the great theme of a Christian's life. And dear friend, we will never forget the great cost and the great sacrifice that it was that Jesus made when he came down here to die on my behalf and to die on the behalf to forgive the sins of many I know in this room tonight. He will be that endless theme. When God closes up this time scene down here and we enter into eternity, it will still be the theme of the Lord Jesus. You know, there's that old hymn, isn't there, about the old, I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. Mm. And dear friend, tonight, you can come to know the love of the Lord Jesus. Come to know the love of the Lord Jesus as it would be presented in the gospel, as him being the only saviour of sinners. He's the, as I said at the beginning, he's the centrepiece of the gospel. He's the centrepiece of God's thoughts. And tonight, dear friend, you can come to know him as your personal saviour. This is the man that came to this earth, died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he was raised the third day. Dear friend, I just hope that something of the attractiveness of the Lord Jesus has come out tonight in the gospel message. He is an all-sufficient Saviour. There is nobody else. There is no love that is like the love of the Lord Jesus. There is no cost that has been spent that has been anywhere close to what God has expended in order to give you the opportunity tonight to come into blessing. And dear friend, I pray that before you leave this room, before you walk through those two white doors at the back of the room, as you have done so week by week, that you may know him personally as your Saviour. And if you do know him, if you have known him perhaps for many years, that you may grow closer to him, that you may grow in your faith, that you may be more like the Lord Jesus, that we may be more reliant on the great power that we have inside of us by the power of the Holy Spirit. We may be more reliant and more led by God as we live our lives down here. But most importantly, if there's anybody yet who does not know the Lord Jesus as their personal Saviour, that they may do so before they leave this room tonight, for his name's sake. Amen. Amen.